Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, Katie Godden, and the team at The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we're discussing learning transfer. I'm delighted to welcome Stella Collins and John Skitt to the podcast. Thank you both for joining me. Would you like to introduce yourselves and tell our listeners a bit more about you and your background?
Are we going ladies first?
Yes, of course, always.
Hello, everybody. I'm Stella Collins. I'm Chief Learning Officer and co-founder at Stella Labs. My background is many and varied, but I studied psychology at university, really loved it. Ended up working in technology for many years. I was a coder, programmer, analyst, and then kind of found myself in the world of learning, which I found was actually my real world where I really belonged. And now I have the absolute joy and delight of running a company where I actually bring learning and technology together. So my world has kind of formed itself into the perfect arrow for the future.
Very good. And of course, you're the more important person on this call today, Stella, which is why I was happy for you to go first. John Skitt, I've been working in learning tech for about 10 years or so. Took a little soiree out, but then came back and very happy to be here because it feels like a good place for me. Recently joined the team and jumped at the opportunity to work with Stella and the rest of the team on the product which we're building at the moment, because I feel like it's a very exciting opportunity and we've got lots of opportunity to help organizations moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you very much, both of you, for that. So I think we'll get started with our first question. So could you both explain a little bit about what learning transfer actually is?
So perhaps I'll start and then John, please add anything that comes to mind for you. So for me, learning transfer is about really making sure that however, whenever, wherever people learn, they're learning something with a purpose. They're learning to be able to, usually to do something. You can learn knowledge and you can learn information, but if you can't do anything with that knowledge and information, it might have been a nice experience, but it's not very valuable, particularly in a business context. So in a business context, what you want people to be able to do is what's important. So learning transfer is making sure they go from that learning experience and take what they have picked up from that and are able to actually apply it in the workplace, so they improve their performance, they improve their skills, they improve their productivity, so that they're adding to the organization and their own personal success.
Yep. And learning transfer is the thing that excited me most with regards to the opportunity of joining Stella Labs. So a lot of L&D activities historically don't result in the knowledge or information which is shared as a part of training or upskilling actually being applied in the workplace by trainees. So that the concept of learning transfer is really fundamentally driven to help change that metric and enable organizations to be able to be confident that the information and the knowledge that is being shared via a training is actually going to be applied in the workplace. So this is it's tremendously exciting for me, having worked with lots and lots of learning tech in the past, where the ultimate metric is, well, did somebody watch it or did they complete a quiz? There's a big gap between that and genuine learning transfer.
I think that leads nicely into my next question. So you've said kind of what learning transfer is, but why is it then important in the learning industry to have learning transfer?
Do you want to go first this time, John?
Sure, happy to. So I think that helping L&D professionals understand the concept itself is potentially a challenge, especially for those who have perhaps got comfortable with the reality of learning tech historically, where those completion metrics or quiz grades are the pinnacle of what they're able to communicate within their wider organization with. What learning transfer is and the benefit to L&D professionals is that they can tell a much richer, deeper story about how their initiatives and the work that they do directly impacts the business, because they're now able to tell the story about, well, this person didn't just attend a training. Here we've got evidence of them applying the knowledge from the training in the workplace. And it's therefore much easier to tie that to a business goal than has ever been possible.
And from my point of view, you know, we spend, I think there's something like $350 billion a year spent on training. And the evidence is that about 12 to 20% of people take that training and actually do something useful with it in the workplace. So you can actually measure or see an impact in the workplace. So that means there's a huge amount of money being wasted, which is terrible in itself. But more importantly for me, I think you're wasting people's time and energy and their kind of, you know, their commitment to learning. If you go, if you do it, and we've all done it, we've all been on training programs that are, or you know, done learning that doesn't have any impact. So if you take people's good kind of motivation to want to do learning, to want to develop themselves, to want to develop the business, and you waste it by giving them training that they actually think, well, I can't do anything with this. I have no opportunity to apply it, or I have no no support to apply it. You're actually kind of then turning them into people who become skeptical about learning, mm-hmm. and they become skeptical about training. And that then is a huge challenge. You've not only wasted the money, but you've wasted that kind of huge motivation and energy that most people do. If learning's effective, most people like to do it. So it's kind of time, money, and energy that is being wasted.
And motivation is a key factor from my growing understanding of learning transfer. What are some of the other factors and variables within an organization which contribute to effective transfer?
You're asking me that, John?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah. there's all sorts of things apply. Kind of involved that can impact on transfer, but there are three really big kind of buckets. One is that the learner, as you said, needs to feel motivated, not just motivated to want to learn, but motivated to transfer, because transfer is quite hard, because you're basically making a change. So you're changing a habit, or you're changing a behavior, or you're changing a way of thinking or a pattern of working. So you need a lot of motivation. So the learner needs to be motivated to want to apply that learning. And for that, they need to see, you know, why am I doing this? You know, if they can see a business need, they can see it will help their team, they can see it will help their own career, then that gives them, you know, a strong motivation. So that's the first one. The next one is that the experience itself also needs to be designed with kind of transfer in mind. So you've already talked about, John, about the, you know, the sort of training where basically, you know, did you watch the video? Did you complete it? That's not designed with transfer in mind. If you want to design with transfer in mind, you've got to support people to take that learning back into the workplace, to do practice, to get support, to fail in the workplace and to get it right in the workplace and get feedback and things. So all those are really hugely important.
And that's bringing in additional stakeholders. All of a sudden, it's not just yes. about the trainer or the facilitator and the trainee.
Yeah. And that's the third part of this kind of triangle, is the organisation has to want to support application in the workplace. The organisation has to be able to have the resources, the time, the energy to support that person to do something a bit different for a while. And when people are doing something a bit different, that feels a bit different to everybody. Everybody can feel a bit challenged by that. So, you know, is there somebody, and it usually is, you know, a first line manager or a supervisor or something, who's the person who's most capable of helping you put your new habits, new behaviors, new attitudes into practice in the workplace. So those three things are really important.
Do you think sometimes in the learning industry, we do training for the sake of training, and that's why sometimes these things don't work? So we're not analysing what is really needed for our employees, for our people. So obviously giving them training, and like you said, wasting their time potentially, because you're giving them training that isn't actually necessary for their role, or it's not the right time, etc. So obviously that learning transfer is extremely difficult when the training itself isn't actually required.
I think you're right there, Katie. I think that's getting better. So when I first got into training 20 years ago, be like an annual catalogue, and, you know, there'd be a series of things you could join during the year, whether it was relevant to you or not. So, you know, we'd get people coming along saying, you know, I want to do presentation skills training. And what's the next presentation you're going to give? Well, it won't be for, you know, 3 months or something. Well, now is not the time to be doing the presentation skills training, really. I think that has got slightly better. I think people have got better at the, you know, just in time training. Let's make sure that people are focused and ready to learn. Having said that, there's still huge amounts of training, you know, particularly around compliance, that people are just kind of, they're just kind of sheep dipped through, you know, we must do this. We must do this every year. We must tick the box. And actually, you know, are people being compliant? Do people really know? Yes, they're completing the compliance training. Does that mean they are, you know, they won't launder money or have accidents or all the other things that can happen in the workplace if you don't do compliance training? So I think it's, there's a balance. There's some things are better and some things are not.
It's a really good point, Katie, and I like that example, Stella, with regards to compliance. A lot of the time the training is done because the company has to show that they have trained in compliance in order to assist should they get into any issues. But I think this is an area where learning objectives, transfer objectives, come in to help as well. So perhaps, Stella, if you could explain a little bit more about the difference between transfer objectives and ones that I think the audience will understand very well, learning objectives and business objectives.
So I think, yes, you need to start off with business objectives. You know, what is the purpose of this training? What do we, you know, what as a business are we going to get out of this? Because as a business, you're paying the money for it. And whether you're actually paying an external contractor or you're doing it internally, there's a huge financial cost and a time cost. It's the kind of lost time cost that is the most important. So you need a clear business objective. And from that,
and you want a business result from the training.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You want save to costs or increase revenue.
Yeah, whichever it is. And then what you really want is to make sure that people have a transfer objective, which is easy to ask the question, what do you want people to be able to do after they have finished this learning? Not what do you want them to know, or, you know, what attitudes do you want them to have, but what do you want them to be able to do? And a little bit around, you know, how do you want them to do it? And then the learning objective really becomes that in order for them to get to this point where they can do this thing, what are the things they need to be able to know? What do they need to know? And what do they need to be able to learn or to be able to, it's the how to do, you know? So if you're learning to do negotiation skills, there are multiple elements in that. And one of the things might be, you know, listening to your customer, for instance, or listening to the person you're negotiating with. So what are the learning objectives around listening skills, which you can do, you know, while they're kind of going through the training, that's when you want to have that learning objective. But the overall objective of the program should be, I want this person to be able to negotiate really well in order to be able to, you know, get the best deal for us in any conversation they're having.
Yes, so you can read Never Split the Difference, but until you're actually applying some of the tips and information inside, you're not demonstrating transfer. And Katie, this is a really helpful tool for L&D professionals, because, you know, historically we've got a good understanding of learning objectives, we've got a good understanding of business objectives. That gap in the middle is where a lot of frustration occurs, because it's been very difficult for L&D teams to be able to show the impact of their initiatives. Further to that, it also helps to drive more effective stakeholder conversations. So if a department manager comes to the L&D team and says, we need training on this, having conversations around transfer objectives and the behaviors that are wanted to be seen in the workplace post-training all of a sudden enable or help to enable the L&D professional to really dig down into the needs of that request, rather than either just accepting it at face or pushing it back. Because the reality is a lot of the time when people come with a training request, what they think they want is actually different to what they actually need.
Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think training can be over-engineered at sometimes. And previously in other roles that I've had, I've kind of really stripped that back and encouraged people to kind of create their own training as well. So if, especially like when I was in retail, for example, we encouraged people that were out on the shop floor to kind of create some content for us because they're the ones doing it day in, day out. There's no good us going in as the learning team to go in and help with that. We can give them the tools and the guidance on how to create that, but they're the ones that are able to actually share that knowledge. And that's something that we found was had a lot of impact purely because it was kind of peer on peer as well. So you've kind of spoken about technology a little bit, but how can technology and what technology is available to actually support learning transfer?
So there's lots of technology around that supports, well, no, there's not lots. There's lots of technology that supports, you know, content delivery, plenty of that. And that is, you know, the first step of transfer. You need to have some knowledge, some information, some experience. There's not a lot of technology, but there is some that supports kind of retention of knowledge, retention of information. So anything where you're getting asked, you know, quizzes regularly, things like Duolingo, for instance, you know, it's a great app that has a really good spaced repetition built into it. What there isn't is a lot of technology around that supports real transfer into the workplace where people are supported to put behaviours into the workplace and have those behaviours both supported and validated so that, you know, a manager can see that, you know, John has done his negotiation training and I can see, John, that you're negotiating really tough with customers. And I've seen you use some of the, you know, techniques that maybe you might have learned in the training, and I can validate that. And then I can give John feedback, or I can give him, you know, more tips or something. But it's the software that does that that doesn't, it isn't common.
And if we look at, so within Stellar Labs, we have GEAR methodology for effective learning transfer, and it's guide, experiment, apply, and retain. I think 99% of existing learning technology does very well with the G, introducing concepts, introducing content, and a lot of them will have something around the E, quizzes, perhaps even feedback modules, where technology can really help support transfer moving forward is in the apply. So are these behaviors being tried out in the workplace? Are they being monitored by subject matter experts, line managers, other learning stakeholders? And does the learner feel confident to be able to apply? And then key part for effective transfer, what support is being put in place to retain that knowledge or to help the learner retain that knowledge into the long term?
Knowledge and habits, building habits. So it's knowledge and practice that needs to be spaced out across time. And there's so much evidence, Katie, that shows that spaced repetition and spaced practice are the things that make the big difference. And those are the things that typically haven't been supported by tech.
No, I agree, because I think, like John, you said this earlier as well, that what people were recording is essentially whether someone's done something. So it was just a tick box exercise. So it went traditionally from kind of the classroom then into an LMS, and you were doing the same thing, weren't you? You're just getting people to do a training course, but you were never looking at how people then applied that and if it did make a difference. And I'm sure with the help of technology as well, you can then kind of get the ROI and actually to see what you're getting back and whether you're making the right investments. Like, it must help with everything. So like in regards to your data, is your training good enough? Are you missing any gaps in your training, etc., etc.? So I can really see the benefits from that. Where do you think learning transfer is going to go in the future?
I really hope more people are going to get it and do more of it, and you know, really begin to see that. You know, I still see and hear regularly every day people talking about content, people talking about information. And there are people talking about skills. I was reading only this week that, you know, while people are talking about the skills agenda, there's actually not a big focus on how do we make that happen. So I think there are people who don't know how to make it happen. But I think there are other people who maybe they know, but they're either unconfident or unsure about actually making it happen, because it's quite a difficult process because people go back to work after training and, you know, they've got operational things they need to do. Mm-hmm. If they're being slowed down a little bit because they're trying to practice something new, that can be really frustrating for, you know, their colleagues or for their manager. So it's around having technology to support that, because technology really can help to support this transfer back into the workplace, because it can give learners, you know, they can see their progress, and we know that progress is motivating. Managers get support to actually do this kind of validation. And one of the big things, I think the big challenges that managers have when they're asked to support people in learning, is you, the manager, didn't do the training. You might not even have ever done this type of training or have this experience yourself. So how can you support somebody else when you don't quite know yourself? And one of the things you can do with technology, and our tech, we're really trying to you know, build this in, is the manager is given sort of prompts and hints about, this is the best way to support John right now. You know, if you ask him these questions at this particular time, it's John who's going to do the learning, but your support will actually help them do that. And this is how you can give them support. So nudging them and helping them to give the right support at the right time is also helpful for them. And that's where tech can be really helpful.
Yes. And I think, you know, overall adoption and better understanding is sort of, I think, our aim for the short to medium term with regards to learning transfer. There are steps, and there is understanding. I worked with a US veterinary group a number of years ago now, and they required the person's supervisor to sign off that they'd seen them complete a certain task. It was often things like attaching a catheter. So I tried to avoid watching the images when transfer data was coming through, and recently I've been working with a training company who refused to work with organizations unless management also took the training alongside their team members and their colleagues. So I think there's a lot of growing understanding in the area, but perhaps not the understanding of the direct benefits for L&D professionals. And this isn't magic. It's not a silver bullet. There's work involved. There's lots of stakeholders. There's lots of complexity. But the thing that continues to excite me most, and the thing that excited me when I started to learn about the work that Stella and the team have been putting together with the product, is being able to provide some insight into that historical black box where learning objectives, funding, time, effort have gone in, and at the end there have been some outcomes. All of a sudden, thanks to learning transfer, thanks to the technology that supports learning transfer, there's increased visibility here, which helps L&D professionals have much more informed, data-driven conversations within their organization about how they are positively contributing to business goals.
And for me, that's so important, John, that, you know, we as L&D people, we become more professional, we become more visible, and we become more relevant to the rest of the organization. Because, you know, sometimes L&D are just seen as, well, we have to do training. It's kind of obvious we need to do it. But yes, it's a cost center. And really, it isn't a cost center. It really should be an investment. It's like
IT was seen in the past, a cost center, whereas a lot of organizations now on their digital transformation are really realizing that this is just a strategic department within their business.
You can't manage without it.
No, I completely agree with you both. Having come from internal learning departments, I definitely agree with you. But I think, again, it does always come back to what the learning team is doing to really help their people. And coming back to that purpose, you have to provide training that has purpose for people, because otherwise, like you said, Stella, people just see learning as something that they have to do. It then becomes boring. You know, it goes to the bottom of your list. You don't want to do it. So I think that's where we've got an opportunity to really change up how learning is delivered, how it's perceived by people. And I think people need to embrace the technology that is available and help them along the way. You know, you don't just need to go and buy an LMS and put loads of training content on there. You really need to think about that from a strategical point of view to really understand what's required from your business, because it might not even be that. You might not even need an LMS. So I think people really need to kind of look at how they're doing that and what they're doing going forward. So thinking about going forward, what's the future for you guys individually?
Individually, that's together. Interesting. Yes, hopefully together.
Together, I think. So yeah, we Stella and the team have been developing a platform which is designed to support learning transfer. I've recently joined to help us with our client and partner relationship. So it's a very exciting time. We've got a ways to go. We haven't cracked everything yet, but we're very, very pleased with the outcomes that we've been able to help our clients and partners achieve so far. We're in a bit of a sort of dual phase at the moment. Helping L&D professionals and the wider market understand learning transfer is a key goal. And then secondary to that, or alongside that, getting into organizations and helping them and helping L&D professionals to deliver transfer is something that we're very excited to have the opportunity to do.
And for me, you know, I want to keep evangelizing on this. I want to keep supporting, you know, I really value what people do. So I want to help them be as great as they can be, as professional as they can be, and to add value as much as they can. So I want to keep evangelizing on this. And then also, you know, keep improving the platform. And the best way for us to improve the platform is to have, you know, people on there saying, hey, this is really, really valuable. Oh, can you also do this? Or, you know, well, this is kind of nice, but it's actually not actually adding anything. So, you know, can we drop it or change it or make it different? So, you know, really working with customers to keep improving the technology that we've already created. And one of the things I absolutely love most of all about our head of product is how really open to feedback he is. You know, some people, when you give them feedback, they're kind of like, oh, well, I'm not sure about that. He always is so grateful for any comment, whether it's from a customer or somebody internally about, you know, hey, we could tweak this, we could make this better. And he always says, wow, thank you so much. So for me, you know, that kind of continuing to improve is what I think, and to keep discovering, you know, we keep discovering more about how effective learning can be. And I think it's really important to keep doing that and then apply that into the technology.
Yeah, that's a really, really valid point. We're in a very strong development phase at the moment. We haven't got it buttoned up and licked just yet, and we're taking in lots of great feedback. However, the product is starting to deliver some really effective and impressive results for organizations, and it's very exciting and a pleasure to be part of this journey.
One of my favorite results, I just want to share it because I really love it, is that within the platform, you can actually see the balance between, you know, how learners are progressing and are kind of, you know, where a learner completes. It's a very different point from most LMSs. Mm-hmm. So they haven't completed until they've been back in the workplace and actively doing. But you can see learner progress, and you can correlate that really well with the amount of support they get from their managers. And one of the things we found with one particular customer is they just look at those two parameters and they kind of go, well, you know, team A, their manager seems to be really supporting them. Oh, funnily enough, they're progressing really well. Team B, not doing quite so well. Oh, look, we can see that their manager isn't as committed perhaps as team A. And they just go to that manager and say, look, here's the data. You need to do more of your job. And then you can see within the program, you can then see that team B are actually now progressing, you know, at a good rate as well. So it's that visibility and that ability to be open and use the data to have those really good conversations, I think, is so exciting.
Yeah, the data is the key point here, I think, for me, because in the past these situations would have become aware, but the trainer or the L&D professional or the person responsible for good transfer outcomes didn't have anything to refer to in as part of an argument other than their feeling or some anecdotal evidence. Now there's data.
Yeah,
I think data is extremely powerful, and I think we've not used it enough in learning. And I think we're starting to see that trend rise a little bit, and we're starting to see data and the correlations between that, because I completely agree. I think if you've got the data to back you up, it's then a really powerful case study to then go and improve everything as well. Like, previously I'd done that in a job role as well, where we used our training data. It wasn't just looking at the views, etc., but the people that had done some of the training, and we then correlated that against the sales figures, and then we can go back out to the population and go, look, if you're not doing this, this is why you're not getting your commission or whatever, is because you're not doing the training. The people that are doing that. So I think data is extremely powerful, and if you don't have good data, then it's not, you haven't got a leg to stand on, essentially.
Absolutely. And I think the great thing with tech is it enables you to capture data so much more easily, but then to process the data and kind of work out the insights from it. Whereas if you're trying to do that manually, it's incredibly laborious.
No, definitely. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining me on today's episode. If our listeners want to get in touch and find out a bit more about yourselves and Stella Labs, how do they go about doing so?
So the best bet is probably to go to our website, which is www.stellarlabs.io. Lots of information on there, lots of additional resources, stuff around transfer. They can also, if they'd like to, take a trial of our platform. We're very keen for people to have a trial, to test it out, see what they think, try it with a group of kind of excited learners. And then we're both on LinkedIn as well.
Yes, and our Stellar Labs LinkedIn page is a great resource as well. So please reach out to myself or Stella or any of the team moving forward, and we'd love to hear from you and learn more about your initiatives and to find out if we may be able to support somehow.
Awesome, that's great. We'll put the links in the show notes below as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.